Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
It is bedlam. It is pandemonium. It is pandemonium. It is fantastic.
Howard Simon.
Oh, my. Brayton, what do you got there? That is a plate full of food. I'm sorry. Brayton just walked in with a plate full of food, and I'm really hungry.
Jeremy White.
He just eats and does everything, and you're thinking, like, how does a dog get 76 Christmas cookies?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, at least it's Friday, and that's got to amount for something. Jeremy, I'm going to need a couple extra minutes here on the show, if you don't mind. Got a little business to do. I know I'm a loud typer, and I apologize.
Yeah? But what are you hammering out over there?
I am listing a Jack Eichel jersey on eBay.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to see, you know, want to get it done now, get a little bit ahead of the curve a little bit, rather than wait till the last moment. I thought, you know, there might be a whole bunch of them on the market in the next month or so.
eBay, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you want it? I'll sell it to you.
No, I'm trying to think of the last time I went on eBay. What's the last thing I bought from eBay?
I have never, ever bought anything on eBay, but my wife takes care of it. She's an eBay person, so I would tell, hey, can you see if you can find this on eBay? Or, you know, she would say, hey, I've got this on eBay. Would you like to? I actually have never physically myself been on eBay. But that's not a peanut butter thing.
I think I might have bought like a poster or – I know I bought some old Sports Illustrateds once.
You're kidding me, eBay. Really?
No.
Oh, you and I got to talk. You and I have got to talk. I have a basement in my mom's house filled with Sports Illustrated magazines from the 1970s. You want them?
No. I only bought one specific Sports Illustrated. I was not looking for hundreds of them.
I was kind of hoping you
didn't
care
about.
Yeah. I mean, like most of the decade, probably.
No, no, it's all right. All right.
Just a thought.
I was looking for the one. Sorry, Bills fans. I'm a Bills fan now. I was looking for the Super Bowl 25 Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
so
I
bought it. Everson Walls is on the cover, reacting to Norwood missing the kick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I assume Norwood was on the cover.
Everson Walls. It was Everson Walls reacting to the kick.
Oh, but it wasn't, right. So you couldn't, it was just him on the, okay. You couldn't actually see the kick itself. It was just
an
ISO on him. Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it was a Giants player. That's Everson Walls. It said, Bravo. Let me send you a picture.
I remember watching the game, so I mean, I'm good.
Send Bill it in the picture. Fine. It's the caption says Everson Walls exults in the Giants' victory.
Yeah, I wasn't exulting. Yeah, I kind of feel like I thought maybe like SI, which by the way, I mean we loved SI. My brothers and I used to read it religiously. I mean, the articles were fantastic. This was, I think, pre-swimsuit issue, by the way, but the pictures were great too. And I thought. I figured SI's cover would have been, you know, maybe they had a cameraman from like a photographer rather in the end zone where the kick was missed. And they've got like a view looking out at the Bills hanging heads and the Giants celebrating and froze that moment in time with that. So I guess I'll be glad they did not do that.
Well, now I'm at a website called SICovers.com and really, holy cow, this is great. You can buy these as wall art and prints.
Yeah.
And you type in a keyword, and they just show up. So what Bills covers do you remember?
I don't remember any SI covers. The only I'll tell you, there's only one, and it's funny. Two things on this real quick. As I said, we subscribed to SI forever. So at one point, my two older brothers, they would cut pictures out from the magazine, whether it was a cover photo or photos inside the magazine. And I'm sure we're not the only ones who did this back then, made this massive collage. I mean, huge, like the size of almost one wall here in the studio, just filled with sports photos. So a lot of them were SI stuff. There's only one cover that I can tell you right now I remember without even spending a nanosecond. The Miracle on Ice.
Oh, okay.
The celebration of the U.S. players from Miracle on Ice was one of the was an SI cover. And I know we have that. We saved it. I think that might actually be on the collage. That's the only... Yeah, SI covers. I'm not really trying to think. That one always will be there in my head.
All right. Well, here are some Bills SI covers because I typed in the keyword Buffalo Bills. And sometimes it'll bring you to there are Patriots covers and games that they must have been involved in or for some reason they're tagged to, including games they lost, like the Super Bowls. But the one I mentioned... Here you go. Thurman Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Thurman Thomas, Super Bills. Buffalo's back in the big one, and Dr. Z says this time Thurmus and the gang won't blow it.
Paul Zimmerman.
Yes.
Kelly then had to, Kelly or Bruce had to be on a cover at some
Bruce,
point.
Bruce, people will remember this one.
And bad stuff, man.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised you don't remember this one. Bruce is loose.
Oh.
Dr. Z's Super Picks, Bills and Redskins, end zone acts, the party is over. Bruce Smith, every quarterback's nightmare.
Yeah.
1991 cover, Bruce Smith. He's not in pads. He's just looking very intimidating.
Yeah.
He's jacked. Bruce is loose. Then there's Big Bad Bills. AFC superpower Buffalo bags the Raiders, and it's a picture of the Bills gang tackling Jay Schrader with a hand on the face mask. He says, Big Bad Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Tasker made a cover.
Really?
Buffalo Stampede. Yes. Buffalo. Steve Tasker and the Bills win the AFC East.
That's a pretty good claim to fame for Tasker to be on an SI cover.
He's running a kickback or a puntback or it might be just caught a pass against the Dolphins, and it's just right in Steve Tasker, December 25th, 1995.
You can get that and get it autographed and frame it.
You could. Then there's Bad News Buffalo. Dr. Z picks the Bills to win the Super Bowl for the third straight year.
Yeah, he was on the Bills bandwagon often, yeah.
And then NFL Halftime Report, you with Doug Flutie on the cover.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask you if the last Bills cover was the early 90s. You just answered my question.
No, there's a more recent one.
Josh hasn't been on a cover.
No, it's... Well, covers are different now. Don't they do regional covers so it's not quite
Oh, is that
the
right?
Same.
Did they do that? All right.
Yeah,
I don't even subscribe. We stopped subscribing so many years ago, so I don't know. But actually, I wouldn't have been able to even tell you. Do they even put out a hardcover edition anymore?
I think so.
All right.
Buffalo Stampede was the Tasker one. The most recent one was just Stampede. It's Drayton Florence returning
Brady.
The Tom Brady pick six.
Right.
Buffalo, the Bills stunned the Pats to go to 3-0.
That was the streak breaker, yeah.
Yep.
Good times.
So there you go. I feel like Sam Adams was on the cover too, right?
From the 31-0 game?
Yeah.
Would have been a great picture of him rumbling down the sideline.
For sure. I think, yes, away we go. The NFL is off and running.
Okay.
And
that's week one, yeah.
That's Sam Adams.
Week one, yeah, right.
Should I check Jim
Kelly? I'm trying to think.
No Jim Kelly covers ever?
You're kidding me. He wasn't on one time in that run?
Well, how about this? There was a Sports Illustrated cover, The Rex Effect, with Rex Ryan, Jim Kelly, and Thurman Thomas. This is my football family now. That's Rex saying that. Then there's Kelly. He's in his New Jersey Generals uniform. Look out, Marino, Montana, and Fouts. The USFL's Jim Kelly's ready to prove he's pro football's top gun.
Houston Gamblers.
I mean, it says New Jersey Generals, and it's...
Because he didn't play for them, right? Yeah, he played for Houston. I mean, the Generals had Herschel Walker, I think. But, that's weird. Is it a black uniform?
Nope, it's red, and the helmet does not look like Gamblers. It looks like it would be Generals.
They didn't even have his draft rights or anything, I don't think. All right,
he never wore their uniform?
No, I don't think he would. I don't think he ever played for them. I think it was just Houston, but whatever. It's the USFL is one of those things I did not commit to the memory chip in my brain.
I'm trying to find out.
I always thought, was there ever, I know the Madden jinx was a thing. Was there, I thought there was an SI cover jinx at some point, people believe.
He went to the Generals after the Gamblers.
Okay.
And there was an SI
cover jinx. Right? I thought, all right. The things we needed to entertain ourselves with. Yeah, there's an SI cover jinx.
So there you go. There's a little walk down. They'll check some text messages, see if anybody remembers.
The only problem with the SI covers, you know, you get the magazine delivered in the mail. If there was a beautiful SI cover and you wanted to save it or maybe even put it, you know, put it in a small frame as a collector, you'd have your stupid mailing address label on the front cover and it would ruin the picture. Like you'd try and, we would, you know, try and peel the darn thing off without the white sticky substance sticking on the cover of the SI issue. So that was the only problem with saving covers. You'd have the address label on it.
Yeah. When you go see them in doctor's offices or whatever, the corner's ripped out.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Or they, you know, they take a black marker and they cover up, you know, they color over the address, their home address. So they don't, But I loved SI. What a great, I mean, you know, you, well, you're all, you cover both eras, actually. You know, you're old enough to remember, I think, right, pre-internet. You know, back then, it was newspapers and magazines. And we got Sports Illustrated. There was a magazine called Sport. Were you, was that around for you?
Yep.
So we got Sports Illustrated. We got Sport. We would probably have gotten Sporting News, I believe, because that's how we got all, no cable, no ESPN, no internet. So it was newspaper and sports publications. And I couldn't wait to get the hockey news every week delivered to me. That was like, that was my favorite sports publication. I would go cover to cover and read every single page in the hockey news. Those were the ways I found out about sports in the 70s through all those publications. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like thinking back to those days, I think it would come on, I'm not going to remember, but Thursdays for whatever reason jumps out at me. Like, you know, you'd go to the mailbox, be excited it came.
Yep.
And then check out what's going on in the sports world. I did have Sports Illustrated for Kids when I was a kid. They had that magazine too.
Right. Yep. That's true.
Or you mentioned Slam. I think was another one.
I don't remember Slam, really.
Slam would have been a basketball magazine, NBA magazine I got for a little while there.
I used to get, there was a, it might still be in business, I don't know, but there was definitely a publication, I think it's still in business, called Baseball America, which was fantastic if you wanted to find out about minor league baseball. Again, AAA, AA, A-ball, league, cover to cover, all the different leagues, all the different teams was great. I religiously read that when I was covering minor league baseball in Elmira and Niagara Falls. That was like the Bible of minor league baseball. So, yeah, that was bring back some memories. Thanks, man. It was always a cool day when the magazine came in the mail because you just want to start reading it from cover to cover right away to find out what was going on.
Of course, ESPN, the magazine.
You know what? Honestly, I subscribed. I was never really a big fan of that. It would come in the mail. I'd look at it. I'd kind of brush through it, see if there's anything I wanted to read. Never really thought ESPN the magazine was that good.
Yeah, it was the size of your table.
Oh, my Lord, it was huge. You're right. But, I mean, I did subscribe, but I also, you know, I got Insider. Now, you know, then it converts eventually into ESPN Plus and, you know, ESPN 3, whatever. You get all that stuff. But,
yeah
I don't, I couldn't tell you the last time. I mean, I stopped receiving publications a while ago. Of course, a lot of it is now online. You can read the hockey news online. You have to actually, SI's website now, I believe, has turned into a paid site.
Yeah.
It used to be free, but SI.com you now have to subscribe to. So whatever I need, if I really want it that much, I'll you know, subscribe to it and read it online now. But I miss those days. I love opening up a fresh new hockey news.
Chris tweets in Nintendo Power. Now that's a magazine.
That was a magazine?
Oh, yeah, Nintendo
For gamers,
Power.
Really? All right.
Yeah, yeah, all about the new games coming out, reviews, all the... Yeah, right, before... Hey, kids, before the internet, they used to write things on paper and mail it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
What? Basically what the internet
what
was.
What? Are you really?
Yeah, you want to know what games are coming out? You want to read reviews of other games? Here, let's mail you these reviews.
Yeah, right. And yeah, I know. And of course, like the Stanley Cup playoffs would begin, and a week later, you'd get the hockey news, which is telling you about games that are now a week and a half old, you know? But still, I mean, it is silly thinking about it now with the immediacy of everything on the computer. But back then, it was a big deal to read all this stuff, even though it was about games that were, you know, in the past by quite a few days. It was still pretty cool to read an in-depth article. And again, it wasn't just that, Jeremy. It was finding out. SI was obviously more features. But like the hockey news was your way to be connected to whatever was going on in the league. Again, no internet. So, you know, I grew up in New York. So the Ranger games, of course, would be on TV. When the Islanders came into existence, the Islanders were on TV. We didn't get Hockey Night in Canada, of course, down on Long Island. So you'd get whatever NBC maybe would have had the NHL contract. But how do you eat? You know, how do you know about everything going on around the league? You subscribe to the hockey news, or you said Slam for basketball or whatever, Baseball America. That publication was like my door to knowing what else is going on around the NHL. An article on every team. Every team had a reporter, right? And every team had a feature, had an article in the hockey news each week. You had that. You had features. You had recaps of what was going on maybe in the minors. it was must-read material because that was the way to stay in touch with the league way back when.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed those days. To this day, still, I'm very much, there is an old-school part of me that very much likes to, you know, get the I still get the Sunday paper delivered. To sit down in my comfy chair on a Sunday morning and physically open the newspaper and read it. I don't know. I don't know that it'll ever leave my system.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's whatever. You maybe find some things you don't necessarily go looking for. You know, you can kind of happen upon stuff as opposed to, you know, if you're looking for the score of a Sabres game, you just go right to that article on the internet. If you're, you know, if you're in the paper, you might find a little feature on something.
But, yeah, I think also it's just the, you know, turning the pages, devouring whatever I want to, you know, cover to cover, whatever the case may be. It just reminds me of that's how I used to get all my information in the 70s. So, yeah, if you change your mind and you want literally hundreds of Sports Illustrated magazines, which we are, you know, trying to see if any of them have value or just chuck them in a giant recycle bin, let me know and I'll hook up a deal. I'll give you a company discount.
Well, what shape are they in? Because I can buy the covers for about $24 each, and they're probably in really good shape.
Yeah, I would say mostly good. Honestly, they have been sitting in a cabinet in my mom's basement for, you know, over 40 years now. Some of them might be a little bit worn on the edges, a little bit chewed. We did go through a few years ago. Jonathan and I went home, and we basically went through pretty much every SI we had to see if there was a cover, an issue like, you know, Miracle on Ice, or something significant. I think I might have found a couple of Mets covers. So we did go through to see what we wanted to keep. We've never taken the time to, and nor I don't believe we would, never taken the time to actually look at the issues, find, maybe there's an issue with Jordan as a rookie with the Bulls on the cover that has some value. Like, we've never taken the time to go through and see, okay, let's go online. Let's see if this issue has value. Da, da, da. It's just too time consuming. So we'll probably end up just chucking the whole lot, unfortunately.
Mm, right.
We got tons of stuff. Media guides, SI magazines, programs, yearbooks. We got crap all over the place.
You could burn them for warmth.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. Save a little bit on the heating bill next winter and just, you know, throw in another couple SIs. Getting down into the teens tonight. Yeah, I'll do that next year. All right. What do you want to start with Eichel today?
Sure. There's a stat, by the way, on the Avalanche. Because, what? I mean, like, what happened to the Avalanche?
Yeah, they were rolling.
Mm-hmm. They are the third team in NHL history. This is your
hang on. I got a new stat of the day because I actually had this one, so this is good.
Oh.
Stat of the day brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving with Cows of Buffalo container on wheels mobile storage rent account today, 592-3343. Go ahead.
They're the third team in NHL history to start a postseason with six consecutive wins and then lose the next four.
They were on a serious roll, and I don't know what happened, but I guess Vegas happened. I wonder if there's, well, no, it's Vegas, you know, being an expansion team in its first 4 years going to one cup final. And now this is their second conference final, right? Well, they've made the playoffs every year, and this is the third time in 4 years that the Golden Knights have reached at least, this is not a stat of the day, it's just an observation, have at least made it to the conference finals.
Well, there was
pretty darn sure they're going to win their next series.
I think they're going to steamroll.
Yeah, right? So I'm going to guess they're going to be in the finals for the second time in 4 years.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to keep saying steamroll.
Steamroll, yeah.
I think they're going to steamroll Montreal.
I can't see. I mean, Montreal got a break coming out of the North Division. It was the division most everybody would tell you was the easiest to get out of this year.
Yeah, and if you're Carey Price, stretch, rest.
You're going to be busy.
You're going to need a lot of work.
Right, he's going to have to stop 40 shots a game.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. On the Avalanche, though, so I saw a stat on Mark Stone and the job he did on Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
So MacKinnon, when he's not on the ice against Mark Stone, goal share. We just do goal share. What percentage of the goals are scored by the Avalanche when MacKinnon's on the ice? The answer is 90% this postseason. And when Stone is on the ice, the answer is 0%.
Wow.
Mark Stone is a tremendous player, arguably the best defensive forward in hockey, and he shut down MacKinnon line.
And that's impressive. Yeah, I saw you tweeted something out. I don't know, somebody was doing something about MacKinnon didn't come up big enough.
Yes,
and blamed the good guys.
Post, they said MacKinnon was a gag artist and choked.
And I was like, okay, well, let me just take a quick glance at MacKinnon's playoff numbers. He's got 69 points in 50 career playoff games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, if you like points and right. people who produce help produce goals, either score them or assist on them, those are pretty decent numbers. I'd take 69 points in 50 playoff games.
Later on today, we can do this because Adam Gretz put together the goal droughts that great players have in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Like, how long have you gone without a goal in the playoffs?
Ooh, I know Mitch Marner's.
His entire career?
No, 18. Well, 18? No, 18 games is his goal drought right now.
Okay. 18's not the highest number. You know who had the longest goal drought of any like good player in the NHL active?
Crosby?
No. It's going to be. Crosby's longest drought was 8 games.
Oh, you have the like Ovechkin the probably didn't go very long.
Ovechkin's longest playoff drought without a goal was 6 games.
Yeah. Patrick Kane?
Patrick Kane's longest drought was 7 games.
Active player goal scoring drought. Longest goal scoring drought in the playoffs. Jeez, my head.
Here's your hint.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's been unstoppable with clutch goals this year.
It's not Cole Caulfield, right?
No. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
See, now I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. Brad Marchand?
Brad Marchand had a 20-game drought.
The little
20-game playoff game goal drought.
Well, that's 20. A long drought for a guy who's one of the better players or has
that's
been.
That's right. That's right.
So yes, you think the Avs want to trade MacKinnon? What do you say? Should we get something going?
I mean, like, see if they blame their best player. 20 games. So anyway, like, it happens to everybody. That's hockey, you know. 20 games. He went, and there's also a write up here of how many series without a goal, right? How many series have you played in without scoring a goal? Marchand's was 4. The high number on this list was 8. David Krejci's played in 8 series in which he did not score a goal.
You think a puck would go? I mean, the guy's on the number 2 line probably most of that time. You'd think a puck would go off you at some point.
8 series.
Clearly, that is a minimum of 32 games if you do math. So, and it's going to be more than that. Yeah, I don't know how the guy could go that long without getting a goal with the ice time he would be getting in a postseason for various teams.
So, too bad for MacKinnon and the Avalanche.
Yeah, well, I thought it's too bad because I think. I'm not going to lie. The Colorado-Vegas series at times was a little bit late for my TV viewing, but everybody I follow, all the hockey media I follow on Twitter, just kept saying it was a fabulous series. Wish there were more games between Colorado and Vegas, and I just think Vegas and Montreal is not going to be fun. I'm not sure what Tampa and the Islanders will be. I'm not, you know, these are not the dream matchups I would have had for the Final Four, but I would hope then it would be Tampa and Vegas in the Cup Final because I think that would be entertaining. It's too bad that an entertaining team like Colorado doesn't even make it to the Stanley Cup final. But that's what happens when you play two of the best teams in the league meet in the second round of the playoffs, which means they should just redo the playoff format and go 1-8 in the conferences or something to avoid two top teams meeting in the second round of the playoffs. It's Friday. There's some hockey to get to. Jack Eichel, some comments from Elliot Friedman yesterday with the Instigators, which we will delve into. We have some good guests on the show today, too. Mr. Brian Kozel is going to join us at 6:45, not because there's a major, but there's news about this Premier Golf League proposal that came out this week. Some new news about that this week. So we got some golf stuff to get to with Brian. Paul Hamilton will join us today. We'll sift through all of the Sabre stuff that was talked about on Instigators yesterday. Our good buddy Nicholas Mandola will join us at 9 for a little soccer talk. And the latest on Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, was a no-show this week in Green Bay. Mark Daniels will join us. You're going to love the radio. Of course, Green Bay has a radio station, Green Bay, Wisconsin, WNFL. So Mark Daniels will join us at 9:30 with that. Phone lines open all the time. Hey, I tweeted this out as a starting point today and getting some tweets on it already, but we'd love to get your responses. If the Sabres trade Jack Eichel, ... you can finish the sentence with some of them have been, you know, let's just say stuff I can't read on the air. But I figure that leaves it open enough for various answers. Some are entertaining, some are kind of nasty, but we'll go from there. All right, 803-0550. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet was on with the instigators yesterday on WGR. In regards to Jack Eichel, he said the Sabres want to move on from their captain. We'll have more on that in just a moment. The Vegas Golden Knights are moving on in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They eliminated Colorado last night and will now face Montreal. That series will begin in Vegas Monday night. The other semifinal matchup had already been set, the Islanders at Tampa, and that'll begin Sunday afternoon. The finalists are out for the Hart Trophy. Eminem, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, some guy named Matthews. Columbus Blue Jackets promote assistant coach Brad Larsen to their head coaching job. He succeeds John Tortorella. NBA playoffs last night, Milwaukee beat Brooklyn. The Nets still lead the series 2-1. The Jazz beat the Clippers. Utah goes up 2-0. The Bills preseason schedule is out. 3 games at Detroit, at Chicago. The one home preseason game will be against perhaps Jordan Love's Green Bay Packers, August 28th. The College Football Playoff Committee will consider expanding from 4 to 12 teams for their format. The Yankees lost to the Twins. The Jays lost to the White Sox. The Bisons split a doubleheader with Scranton. Those are your Paddock Chevrolet headlines. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Next update at 7 o'clock.
Poker game we're playing right. These other teams are saying you've got an unhappy player who doesn't want to come back. And the Sabres, I really think at the end of the day, want to move on. They don't want him back. They want to move on. The teams are going to play Buffalo's quote unquote desperation at that. And the Sabres have to play a game that says, okay, you guys can play that game, but somebody is going to get him. And if you play it too cool or you play us too hard line, it won't be you.
That's some of Elliot Friedman's comments for the Instigators. You can hear the whole interview with Elliot on demand at WGR550.com. Quick synopsis. He said that teams have been researching not only the medical procedure that Eichel would like to have, but also what Eichel's thinking. If he is traded, would he be willing to not have the surgery and still sign off, or well, not technically sign off. He doesn't have a no move clause, but be okay with the trade. They want to know if he's 100% firm on the surgery. Some teams, I guess from what Friedman said, some teams agree with the Sabres doctors. He was talking about the injury maybe keeping value down. The game that's going on, leverage this, leverage that, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. But anyway, Friedman says he thinks the Sabres want to move on, and he thinks Eichel will be traded by the draft, which is coming up towards the end of July. And also he said there's a lot of interest in Sam Reinhart before they got in. He said that before they got into all the Eichel stuff. So, yeah, there you go. That's the latest on Eichel.
You know, it's funny. Thinking of all the things that Friedman said, there were some that heard – the story and thought, well, he's parroting what Jack's agent wants to say, right? Mm-hmm. And who wants me to know that? Basically, the idea that the Sabres don't want him back is something the agent would want to push. That right. It's not his fault. They didn't even want him back. He did also say, as you pointed out, that there are several teams that would not allow him to have the procedure.
Yeah.
But there are several teams that would. So, you know, not everything that was said sounds exactly like it's something the agent would say. I mean, I feel like the agent might say, if you really wanted to make the Sabres mad, most teams I talk to would let him get it. You know, you wouldn't say they've got a point here if you're going just completely parroting what the agent's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure some of it, of course, agents are always sources for the national media guys, like, well, anybody, any hockey, any sport, any media. A lot of times you'll talk to the agent as a source for a number of different things, contract negotiations, how your guy is feeling, if he's a free agent, is he going to resign, is he going elsewhere? So you always check in with the agents. But so, yeah, you try and take it with a grain of salt. But, I mean, there's no indication. When he says the Sabres want to move on, I suppose I would look at it and go, really, why? But there's no indication of, I mean, really, nothing is pointing to him staying unless, you know, the Sabres don't think they're getting value, that they can't maximize value because of his injury situation. And it would be silly to trade him because when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the league. Let's not trade him unless we get exactly what we want back in a return. That's the only scenario I see where he's still in a uniform next season. Which is really depressing to have that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's depressing.
No, I don't. Yeah, it's bugging me.
Oh, I mean, I've accepted it as one would say.
No, I just like watching him play, Jeremy. He's fun. He's exciting. I love watching the guy play. I really do. I don't know how you replace him.
All right. Well, let me read you a funny text. Let's connect with our fans.
Hang on. That's my cue. Time to get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bon, Shannick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Some of the tweets are fairly humorous, I should say.
Okay. Here's a great text.
Go ahead.
Like, all right, texter, connect with our fans. The station that embarrassingly and incessantly led the tank campaign.
Oh, this is really funny? Okay.
It gets better for 2 years. Is now going to continually run the Eichel wants out of Buffalo conjecture stories.
Yeah.
That hamstring the Sabres and lower Eichel's trade value to absolutely nothing. Makes sense. First point.
Oh, we're lowering the trade value.
I was going to say this today. I did want to bring this up today. Lord. I did want to say, hey, 2 years from now, I don't want to hear any nonsense that we ran him out of town.
Yeah.
Like happens with O'Reilly, which, of course, didn't happen either. But, I mean, I guess connecting with this person, they think we're already running him out of
town. Oh, yeah, right. Teams only follow what the media, what the talk show hosts tell them to do. Yes, that's
right,
well
exactly.
Fact.
When they finished in last place and we enjoyed it, that was our fault.
In fact,
they finished in last place this year. Since we didn't enjoy it, that wasn't our fault.
What, weren't you the guy who suggested that Blues trade package to the Sabres? I think, they signed off on your package
proposal. I was big on Berglund. Yeah,
I knew you were. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just it's – I don't know how to really talk about it without, like you said, I don't want to be depressing about it, and I don't want to spend my entire life hammering the Sabres over being inept. But you just kind of have to wait to see what the return on the trade package is.
Sure.
And I guess the thing I just want to always say in this scenario is, I hope they learn a lesson from this, and I hope they learn a lesson about themselves and not blaming Jack Eichel or Sam Reinhart. And I don't know that they will. I really don't know that they will learn a lesson about themselves, because everything that's happening is their fault, 100% their fault. And, you know, you can come out of that with knowledge that you need to be better, and that's more than just Kevin Adams saying, like, we got to scout better, we got to be coach better. It means the organization needs to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, they need to just be more present. It's hard to really even verbalize, because fans have felt like they are paying more attention to the Sabres than the Sabres are.
The reasons why, one is obvious. I'll have to have an open mind and see what the return is. I'm not going to tell you that no matter what, I'll be angry at the return. I guess I have to see what it is. But having said that, you are, and this has nothing to do with, wait, why did we tank, fellas? I'm just talking about an exciting player to watch, a talented player to watch at a critical position in your franchise, and a cornerstone piece that you would, for whatever reason, be moving on from. And I never look at that as trading your best player to me is not a good thing. And again, you lose the excitement level of watching this guy play. When he's healthy, he's one of the best centers in the league. He is just a shade under a point a game in his career.
And he's played on teams
on crappy teams with bad coaches that don't even generate enough chances on a regular basis. So I just don't know how you win coming out of this scenario. It's really hard for me to envision that. Honestly, Jeremy, and You were in Florida for the Eichel draft, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking, when I'm listening to Friedman talking about Eichel, and I honestly, I'm flashing back to whatever June 2015, whatever night, 26th, 25th, 20th, whatever. And that weekend was drafting Eichel and trading for Ryan O'Reilly.
And I also remember, trading for Leonard.
And, okay, right, first round pick for Leonard was...
Hey, what's that about? That was the first warning sign. Like, wait a minute, what?
But coming to work on Monday saying, oh yeah, Sabres have Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly. Wow!
Yeah.
It seems like what happened? I mean, it seems like so long ago, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh Lord, they're going to trade Eichel, and thinking six years ago? Yeah, right, or almost exactly 6 years ago. Wow, Eichel and O'Reilly. This team is headed in some great places. Never materialized, and now we're in an off season. And Friedman talked about this with Craig and with Andrew yesterday. We're in an off season where I'm expecting both Eichel and Reinhart to be gone before October of the coming season.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Really, is unbelievable. All right.
Well, I mean, it's they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to reset and course correct. But the question is, you know, just being competitive, I think we would all take that right now. That's not supposed to be the goal. That is now the new goal. Just be competitive. Ugh. The goal was supposed to be starting today, reason for existence, and that is just very, very far away. Oh, and man. I want to say one thing about Eichel about the Eichel trade that I don't hear enough of, because I think it needs to be discussed as a possibility. Maybe they want to get cheaper.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
You know? Hey, one player that makes $10 million or four guys that make $2.5 million?
Yeah, right.
Let's get this payroll down. I mean, how come nobody's talking about the idea that it could be just, among other things, we could save some money?
Right, like because, cutting out all the front office personnel.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know they paid big money to Ralph to leave, and they paid for Taylor Hall for 1 year. But with Eichel, you have, what, $50 million committed? Maybe you don't want $50 million committed.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the injury is a factor there, but I just want to keep saying that I the money of it might matter.
Okay, yeah. You know, not as much about cap flexibility, more about just bringing down what you owe people.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Actual money owed. I mean, O'Reilly was traded before he was due a bonus, and that was a big part of it, save $7 million. So, I mean, maybe they want to save some money.
803-0550 to join us. If the Sabres trade Jack Eichel this offseason, you will... fill in the blank and keep it clean. We will talk about that and some golf stuff, actually, to get to in a moment. Brian Kozul, who, of course, hosts our Sabres postgame shows, will join us next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like, I think everyone here expects this to be done by the draft.
I would think so, too.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on the timing of a Jack Eichel trade when he was on with the Instigators yesterday. If you missed the interview, it was available on on-demand audio at WGR550.com.
Did you see my tweet about the Denver Post, the headline from the Denver Post?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, they lost to the Avalanche, lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. Mark Kisla writes the Denver Post. The headline... and writers don't always write their headlines, of course. They rarely do, I think.
Yeah.
Rudely bounced from the NHL playoffs. Pretty Avs prove they're built to win icecapades, not the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God. Wow, it's a little harsh, don't you?
Yeah. He goes on to say that they should fire their coach.
Hey, if they want to swap franchises right now, I'll take the Avs roster.
Well, you know.
So they're not built for the playoffs, of course.
What happens when you have the two best teams in the league play in the second round?
Yeah.
One of them's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So the Avs are not built for the playoffs because they lost to the second best. They were tied with 82 points, these two teams.
Yeah.
The two best teams in the league. The two best teams on goal differential. If the Chiefs and the Bucks played in the first round, one of them wouldn't be built for the playoffs. I think.
Yeah.
They
didn't lose to the Montreal Canadiens, who are 18th in the standings this year.
Right. Vegas goes from playing the best team in the league, tied with the best, to Montreal, 18th.
Yeah, there could be so many overreactions. I mean, if the Leafs trade Marner, go ahead, by the way, if you want to trade Marner, I think that'd be nuts. But come on, Colorado, right? I mean, okay. They're really good, and it's really hard to win a Stanley Cup, especially when you're paired against one of the best teams in the league in the second round of the freaking playoffs.
Yeah, they lost in six games.
Yeah, I guess because they won the first two and then lost four straight, they're pretty abs. On our Western Hotline, actually, I got him on to talk golf. We got him on to talk golf, but we can throw him our topic of the day because he is the host of the Sabres post-game shows and here on WGR. Of course, he is also on Tee to Green, which will be heard Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Our very own Brian Colesio with us now on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Colesio. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Yeah, that Vegas AV series was just awesome. I mean, it's too bad it wasn't the Stanley Cup final. It was every game, every period was just awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, I mean, Colorado shouldn't touch their team. They're really good. The format is, as you guys have been saying, is just, it's too bad that ended up having to be a second round matchup. But obviously this year with COVID, the way they did the divisions and everything, I mean, it was what it was, but I would sign up to take Colorado's team in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just even one line. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. We always get you on for golf, and I was planning on getting you on next week, right, with the U.S. Open coming up. And then I saw the story this week, the reemergence of the story in regards to the Premier Golf League, which I do want to talk about. However, when will they be able to pair Koepka and DeChambeau on the tour? Like, really soon, I hope. I want these guys playing together.
Well, I mean, technically it could happen next week. I don't know if the USGA will do it when they put together the pairings for the U.S. Open. We should find those out probably on Monday. But, I mean, boy, what a bonanza that would be if you could put the two of them together in a group of three. And, you know, I guess you could argue that it would be reasonable to do it. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau is the defending U.S. Open champion. Brooks Koepka, we know, is a four-time major champion. You could do something to argue to put them together. Maybe you put the two of them together, and then you put, like, the U.S. amateur champion with the three of them together or something like that. I don't know. But, I mean, they could set it up for Thursday and Friday for the U.S. Open. I mean, for these majors, the guys, the people that run the tournament, they control the pairing. They set it up who they want together, and they want the timing for television. So they could do it. I'm sure that there's discussions of whether they should or whether they shouldn't, but my goodness, that would be phenomenal television if somehow you could put them together for the first two rounds.
Is this good for golf? What's going on with these two? That last video about free beer to the people who are thrown off the course was hilarious. Is it good for the game, do you think?
Well, it's definitely creating interest. I would say there's an argument more so that it is good. The fact that these guys are showing a little bit more personality. The one thing that we talked about on TD Green last week was, remember this year, the tour has set aside $40 million for what they're considering the players' branding and popularity to be. So we're wondering if Koepka is really pushing the envelope on
for sure.
To really get his awareness and his brand out there to be in a big piece of that. And, you know, DeChambeau, who knows? Could he be in on it too? But Koepka's really pushing that envelope with being a star on social media, posting videos, and I'm guessing that has a little incentive, the fact that he's been able to do this, because definitely his, quote, brand is definitely taking a hit in the good direction for this. Even if for people that don't like Koepka, the awareness of him and what he's all about is what a lot of that purse money was set aside for, and I'm sure that he's helped his cause tremendously by having all this controversy with him and Bryson over the last few weeks.
Well, there's a great fundamental question about golf. Does it want to be the kind of sport where, you know, whoever gets the most clicks gets paid, or the kind of sport where whoever wins the most gets paid? Because this Koepka DeChambeau thing, Brian, it is kind of fun. There is an end game, where does it go from here kind of question, though.
That's true. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, as we know, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. He won everything, and he dominated, but he still made 10 to 20 times more amount of money with his other off the course items, you know, endorsements and commercials and other things like that. So, you know, there is money to be made by branding yourself in a certain manner. Koepka clearly is going in that route. You could still make a lot of money winning, but you can make the big, big, big time money doing other items too. And I think Koepka is trying to maybe head himself down that path for sure. Is it ultimately good for golf to have a rivalry? I think so. I mean, forever during Tiger's run as the greatest, people were trying to think, is Mickelson his rival? You know, and at times you could say yes, and at times there was just nobody even close to him in terms of the golf. But this has a dynamic where we really haven't seen golfers really get after each other.
And, I was going to say, like, Tiger, he rarely acknowledged the others, right? Like, how often did that happen?
Almost never. I mean, remember him putting the blinders on mentally, physically, not even acknowledging the other guy. Like, that was part of his shtick, right? Like, he'd walk down the fairway, people would be yelling things. Like, he was locked in. Like, that was his thing. The fact that, I mean, you have guys, yes, I know we live in a different era with social media. That when Tiger in the early 2000s was doing everything, there wasn't necessarily Twitter out there or TikTok or Instagram to post these things. But the fact that he's openly mentioning other players, essentially, I mean, yes, he isn't saying the word Bryson DeChambeau, but the fact that he's referencing him quite often, that's definitely a changing of the guard, especially for golf, which, as you know, prides itself on etiquette and sportsmanship and all that sort of thing. And I think that's there, but I think having a little juiciness between a couple of guys here, that clearly these two guys are two of the most talked about players. DeChambeau is definitely a unique feature over the last year that, you know, I've talked with you guys about golf on the station. We've probably talked more about DeChambeau than any other golfer. His unique approach to the game. Koepka obviously doesn't like his approach to the game. And the two of them, personality-wise, clearly are getting at it here. And it's making it interesting for sure. I guess in the end, I'm sure even if the PGA Tour won't on the record say it's good, they know they're getting a lot of extra clicks and a lot of extra buzz from it. So I think in the end, as long as it maybe doesn't reach to a level where they feel like, you know, there's really some, I guess, personal attacks going on, I'm sure they're fine with it.
You know, Shooter McGavin wasn't a big fan of Happy Gilmore too. And that, you know, I mean, and that turned out okay. He got a house for his mom, or grandmother rather.
Yeah.
the Premier Golf League this week, Brian, they came out and said they are planning to start in January of 2023. What is it in a nutshell, and how could it impact the PGA Tour?
Yeah, so this league, similar to maybe what we saw this year with the Super League with soccer that didn't get off the ground, there's been rumors and chat about this for years, and most of the big-time players have said that they think that they don't want to participate, but hearing how it was described this week, I could see more players maybe giving it a thought because it's more player-friendly, calling it Dream Field. So tournaments would be 3 days instead of 4 days. No cut. I mean, that's an incentive for a player to maybe travel somewhere around the world to go play. You don't want to go and then miss the cut, and then you're like, oh, geez, I traveled halfway around the world to play two rounds. Well, yes, it's only a three-round tournament, but now there's no cut. Regulation and promotion, like, that's a piece that we know from, you know, European soccer leagues, that that would actually be a piece in there too. But only 18 events. So this is an opportunity, I think, too, for at least while it's getting started for the Premier Golf League to say, look, you can play in these 18 events, or they hope as many as possible. And if you're still wanting to play in the PGA Tour majors, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, so on, those will still be a possibility. They keep talking about how that, you know, there's what's different about this versus the soccer Super League is that, you know, they say that 50% of the golf, the 50% of the funds come from fans, and like that this is a fan-run sort of thing. Some other things in there, but the fact that it's 3 days, there's no cut. They're talking about a five-hour broadcast window, exceptional production, a range of options in order to view this and participate in the broadcast. Like, there's some other things that they're looking at here. Obviously, in the end, for any of this to work, it's going to take buy-in. We saw with the soccer teams that eventually some of the big teams just started bailing, and that's ended up to the collapse of it. So it's really, to me, at this point, no matter how amazing these ideas are, and I think there are some good ideas, it's going to take guys like Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. Like, what is this group of players going to do? If they're going to play in it, there's a chance for it to work. If a lot of them aren't, it's probably going to fail. So I think at this point, the top to 10, 15 players in the world that hold the most power, I think those are the guys that ultimately are going to decide whether this ends up getting off the ground or not.
The final thing I guess I want to ask you, from what I read, the purses would be fantastic. There's a lot of money that would be available in this other, in the Premier Golf League, but the PGA players are limited to how many they have to ask for permission to go in other events. They're limited in the number of events they can go to. They have to play in a certain number of events on the PGA Tour. I'm getting to this. Is it possible some players would get kicked off the tour if they decide, I want to play a whole bunch of events over there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think is going to have to be figured out, because, I mean, this league itself, this Premier League, will they engage in discussion with, like, the existing tours right now? Would a European Tour player that's playing the European Tour be allowed to play? Or would a PGA Tour player? And, you know, you want the bigger names. Most of the biggest names in the world play on the PGA Tour. Can they coexist? My guess is the PGA Tour wants no part of this,
mm-hmm.
because they know they're going to lose big names from all of their events. Yes, I think you'd get the big names to all participate still in the majors. But let's face it, the PGA Tour is a 50-week sort of league. There's events all the time. And they're looking for as many opportunities for their big names to get out for these tournaments. So the mid-level tournaments still exist and still make money and are still successful. So I got to imagine the PGA Tour has no interest in working with this Premier Golf League to kind of help get it off the ground. Say, hey, how can we do this? For certain players, Tiger has set the precedent that golf now, at least in our lifetime, will be judged on majors. So I still think there will be players that will jump at any opportunity for something like this because there's a ton of money involved. But for the players that maybe are already, you know, guys that are multimillionaires, the big names that I just mentioned there, there still may be the lure of, look, ultimately my golf career is not going to be judged on whether I make $50 million, $60 million, $70 million, $80 million. It's going to be judged on how many times that I win at the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the British Open. So I think there's still a piece of that, and that's the one piece that's tough, is that in these team sports, you can create these events with a different league and all that sort of stuff. Here's the problem. The Premier Golf League cannot just all of a sudden create an event at Augusta National. Like, that's tough.
Right.
So, like, that's the one the piece of property that they really need to be on for the event to be great. Like, they can't have access to that. So that's what's a little tougher about golf, that they might have a big hurdle overcoming.
All right, Mr. Colesio, listen, put a little reminder in your phone. We're going to have you on Thursday next week in case I forget to text you.
Sounds good. I'll be ready. Let's hope maybe we're talking about Koepka and DeChambeau being in the same group. That would be fun.
That would be fun. All right. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Colesio. Hopefully, Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, right? Tee to green.
Yep, we'll be 7 to 8, and we're at Hickory Stick in Lewiston this week, a really cool course. So we'll be there on the air. Hope everybody can tune in.
Very good. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
We will get a break in 803-0550 to join us if the Sabres trade Eichel this offseason. You will be what? You can let us know. Anything else you want to talk about? That's fine. Other things are going on in the world of sports. Grab a line. Join us this morning, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.